time once again for the Dining Duo Show, hosted by Jim and Nancy Eggers. Listen as they take you on another dining adventure in and around the Huntley area. As always, they arrive at a restaurant unannounced and do not disclose the fact that they are restaurant critics. This assures an honest and fair review for their listeners on Huntley Community Radio. And now, Jim and Nancy Eggers.
Welcome to the most mouth-watering 27 minutes in radio. You know, we do have to warn our listeners, too. This is a very fattening radio show.
It is?
So be careful, yes.
How fattening is it? Because I'm on a diet, remember.
Well, then close your ears.
Okay.
But we do have a great show lined up for you, so let's start drooling.
This segment is Ping Scores a Hole in One. After puttering around in the garage, Jim's thoughts turned to springtime.
Well, actually, I just wanted to get out of the garage. I want to get out of doing work. But that's a little man secret. Don't, you know.
Oh, okay. And he decided to dust off his old Ping golf clubs and noticed they needed new grips.
Mm-hmm.
He Googled Ping and found Chef Ping's in Rolling Meadows. It always seems to go back to food. Why is that?
You know why? Because I am a trained professional.
Yeah, food is always on your mind, my love.
Now, it actually seemed like we were navigating an 18-hole golf course as the mighty Minimobile golf cart attempted to follow the directions from our GPS. Now, we pulled into the restaurant at 12:15 on a Saturday afternoon, and there wasn't a parking spot to be found. So we creatively made one.
We did.
You know, and tell me you've never done that. You know? This looks like a spot. Okay.
Sure it does. Park there, my love, because I'm not walking any further.
So we slapped on our handicap placard and said, "We're here." Made good time, didn't we?
And we walked up to the starter hostess stand.
You see how we're all tying this together with golf?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
We always do. We go full circle all the time. And we're given a number, and we're told that we had a 25-minute wait. Oh, we looked at each other in unison and said, this place must be good. Let's be honest. Another way of telling if an ethnic restaurant is good is by how many people of that ethnic origin are seated and enjoying the food. And let me tell you, it was really evident at Chef Ping's.
Yes, exactly.
It really was.
You know, and it's 12:15 on a Saturday, and there's a 25-minute wait? Seriously?
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. And I didn't want to really wait because I was getting hungry. And I knew that Jim would turn hangry soon.
Yes, I would.
I know you.
Our number was finally called, and we putted our way between the tables to our seats.
Mm-hmm.
Our waiter brought over a pot of hot tea, which is good. How many times have you seen that?
We don't get that anymore, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and we enjoyed that while we looked over their extensive menu.
And they had an extensive menu, let me tell you. So we started off with an order of egg rolls, two of them for $2.95. These were crispy and tasty, but on the small size. We also wanted to try a blast from the past, namely shrimp toast, six of them for $5.95. Do you people remember shrimp toast?
I totally forgot about it.
When I saw that, I says, I got to have it, but you always have to have your egg roll. So we picked out on some appetizers.
You know, and I'm still not exactly sure what shrimp toast is.
But, well, I'll tell you. This was a triangular-shaped fried toast stuffed with shrimp paste. Our neighbor used to make it all the time in our old house. And whenever there was a party in the neighborhood, and I loved it. It was really good. And these were as good as we remembered them from the past.
Yeah, they were really good.
They were.
They weren't greasy or anything like that. No.
If I go back, I'm getting those again.
Uh-huh.
Forget the egg roll.
Nancy was undecided which of three entrees to have since they all sounded so good. But her game day decision was orange beef for $15.95. This was fried beef with hot peppers and a sweet and spicy sauce made from fresh oranges and served with white rice. Now, she asked about getting fried rice for an upcharge, which is usually the case.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to get.
And I love fried rice.
But the waiter told her that this was only available during their weekday lunch specials. And the fried rice that she could order now would be a meal in itself.
And I couldn't eat all that.
You know, and actually we saw that. It was like a big plate with like huge amount of it.
Yeah.
On weekends, they only offer their dinner menu. So go there with a big appetite because the portions are huge.
They are huge. But then you got leftovers.
Now, as far as Nancy's meal, it was a huge mound of beef and was absolutely delicious.
It was.
I may have stolen a few pieces of her beef while she wasn't looking.
I knew you did it.
Well, how can you not with Chinese food? You sit there and you got to pick at it. You got to do that.
And I did the same to you, so.
Did you?
Maybe. Jim finally decided after much consternation to order the Hunan beef or Hunan beef or... How do you say it?
Either one.
Oh, okay. Really? So I was right both ways?
I think one is Chinese and one's English. I don't know.
Whatever. Okay, for $13.95. This was tender beef with broccoli, carrots, and baby corn in a spicy Hunan sauce.
Or do you say Hunan?
I say Hunan.
Or Hunan.
Hunan. And served with white rice. This was out of this world delicious, and I stole some of Jim's beef while he wasn't looking, so there. I gotcha.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Clean up in Studio A on mic one. I just went to you.
The next show recording, you may want to bring some Sani wipes or whatever. A little bit of the Lysol.
Spray.
Okay, but the portions are very huge here. So Nance took home a doggy bag with half of her food in it, but I couldn't stop eating mine and ate the whole thing.
I can't believe you had an egg roll, you had three pieces of shrimp toast, and you ate the whole thing.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't you just say that you stole a lot of my beef when I was
I said, I stole a piece of beef while you weren't looking.
I think it's more than one piece, and that's why I could eat it all, because you kept it. You ate half of my meal.
No, you were eating mine up.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Both of our entrees had a chili pepper next to it on the menu, indicating it was spicy. But not to worry, the heat was just right. It was only about a 2 on my sweathead meter.
Yeah, I could go for more spice.
Yeah, it was.
So when we go there again, we're going to say, I know you have a chili pepper on there. Give us more spice.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah, because I like heat.
Well, it's better to have it that way than, like, we were at this one Cajun restaurant.
Which, No.
Oh, man.
That's Heaven on 7 in Naperville we went to. Oh, my God. We couldn't even eat our food.
They said they had a hot batch of peppers. Well, yeah, but, man, it was really hot. Yeah.
So, for your information, the menu states, everything is made to order for you. Your patience is appreciated. They are closed on Mondays, and it is not handicap accessible due to the close proximity of the tables. If you can maneuver around the tables, then try it. That's the only thing that was wrong with it. Tables were so close and tight.
Yeah, you know, but they had a huge crowd, so they wanted to get as many people in there as they possibly could.
And it was a bigger place,
yeah,
too.
You know. So. And now this is a beautifully decorated Chinese restaurant with authentic food that is worth the wait. Reservations are accepted for parties of 6 or more, and what a stroke of luck it was in finding this restaurant. Get it?
Stroke.
Going back to the golf thing again, okay? You know?
Who killed the birdie? No. All right.
What?
Well, birdie. You know, you get a birdie. I wanted to say, never mind.
Okay.
The price for Ping's hole-in-one was... My head's still shaking.
That's a rough one to take.
In the morning, it is.
$42.67.
So, my love, what's your take on this restaurant?
I'm so glad you asked. I will tell you. My meal was phenomenal. It certainly was. I couldn't stop eating what was left of it.
You were eating mine. I caught you a lot of times, and I didn't say anything.
Now, just for fun, check out their old-time favorites from home section on the menu.
Ugh.
This has the, perhaps what you would say, a little too authentic.
Weird.
You know, Chinese food is like, sea urchin toes and, you know, all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun to look at. And you know, who am I to say? I mean, the sea urchin toe could be good or something. I've never had one. And it probably never will. Hey, what is your take, Poopsie?
A little birdie told me to take my bowling friends here for their lunch special so I can get my fried rice again. And I enjoyed both of the dishes today. They were awesome.
Awesome?
Awesome.
They were very good.
They were.
I know, I had it for lunch the next day.
I know. So I didn't care how much beef you were eating of mine because you had less for lunch.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I don't eat the leftovers. I eat salad usually for lunch. You eat the leftovers.
Well, I guess I shot myself in the foot on that one, didn't I?
Didn't you? And you ate so much of your food, too. All of it?
Why don't you give them the particulars, Poopsie?
Chef Ping, 1755 Algonquin Road, Rolling Meadows, 60008. The phone number is 847-981-8888. The website is www.chefping.com. The directions, you take Route 47 South to I-90 East to Route 53, North Algonquin Road, east to restaurant, about 30-minute travel time. Not bad.
Sure, 30 minutes?
Okay, 29 3/4.
I think that's more accurate.
But then when you get in the parking lot, you got to add on about another 5 to 10 minutes just to try to find a parking spot or make your own, like we did.
Which we are not condoning at all. For those of you who just tuned in, this is the Dining Duo Show here on Huntley Community Radio 101.5 on your FM listening dial, WHRULP.
You did it this time. I always do it.
The mighty crew.
We put you in WHRU.
Last, but you're last.
Oh, terrible. So, my love, did we get any letters this week?
I don't know. Let me check.
Read the mail! Read the mail! Read the mail!
Nope. We got nothing.
We got nothing?
We got bupkis. We got nothing.
And we couldn't even think of Uncle Mastuchus or whatever you call him.
I didn't even get a those that said, you know, I won the lottery in Zimbabwe or anything. I didn't even get those. But so if we're encouraging you to write about anything and complaints, you can address them to Nancy's attention. And our address is thediningduo@huntleyradio.org. That's thediningduo@huntleyradio.org.
Today on our show, we have a very special guest who is waiting patiently in our studio to be interrogated. Interviewed by none other than the Dining Duo. We are going to try and be on our best behavior, Jim.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So we don't scare her off.
Now, on with the show. Her name is Maureen Fall, a former chef at Gibson Steakhouse in Chicago. Welcome to the show, Maureen.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Thank you for coming out.
My pleasure.
Well, aren't we nice?
Yes.
So did you go to culinary school?
I did. I went to Kendall College. I went to the original one in Evanston. And it was a two-year, after you went, did your basics, I already went to college. So after you did that, it's a two-year school.
So, oh, wow. Okay. Well, so two years, well, that's pretty long.
Expensive.
Ooh,
is it
really?
Sure.
It is. But, you know, a chef can be, in my opinion, a chef can be somebody who started off as a little kid and watched their dad or watched their family in the business.
Okay.
You know, it's like college to me. You know, either you're really good at schooling or sometimes in business you don't have to go to school and you can be super smart.
Mm-hmm.
With culinary, you know, you could be a chef without going to school or be a chef where you can just learn and you really have to have a knack, though. I mean,
just like anything,
you have to have a passion for it. And if you don't, you know, you can tell. It shows.
Well, how long were you a chef at Gibson Steakhouse?
On and off for about 20 years.
Wow.
I started off at the original one, the one on Rush.
Uh-huh. So, cool. And I understand that you did other restaurants for the chain?
I did. I opened up the original Hugo's Frog Bar, which they had to go through the walls of Gibson's. It was right next door.
Mm-hmm.
So they blew out a couple of walls and made it Hugo's Frog Bar. It was something you just never really see because the Hugo's, the minute it was open, it was making money.
Really?
So you never see it, and you'll probably never see it again.
No kidding.
It's just unheard of, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I heard it's tough being a chef with the long hours and all of them being on your feet. Tell us what your average day was like.
I'm a runner. I firmly believe that if you do anything on your feet, you should do some type of exercise. I've been a runner since I started working as a chef. And you are on your feet. You're on your feet for probably 15, 16 hours.
Ooh, wow.
Depending on, as you get through it, this isn't it's not really a glamorous job. Like I said, that's why you have to have some type of passion or else, mm-hmm. it'll kill you or, you'll drink or you'll do drugs or seriously. I mean,
Like Jim always says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's true. Yes.
So very true, because I was the only girl at that time when I first started, and
that was more or less a man's field.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it was pretty rough until I'm a tough girl, and I'm from one of nine brothers and sisters, so there was a couple of the older guys that really, tried to get underneath, my skin, and I just wouldn't let it, and I just got right back in their face, and once I showed them, we all were pretty cool.
Because it's pretty much men, it seems like, chefs.
It is, and my father was in the car business, and that's pretty much a man's, back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and I used to work at one of his dealerships, so I was already kind of used to that. So it wasn't as intimidating. It was intimidating in the beginning in this field because it was such a man's world.
Mm.
I mean, and you're behind a tiny line and you're literally bumping heads, trying to get the food out. So, I mean, you're in pretty close
quarters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
okay.
See, I always thought it would be a woman who'd be a chef because women are in the kitchen all the time.
No, just like Julia Child, her story, she was in France. It was just unheard of. And she had a really tough time, trying to prove herself as well.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, okay, and let's get to the good, juicy stuff now, okay? Did you ever cook for any celebrities?
I cooked for many celebrities. There is, for some reason, Gibson's is a place that the celebrities felt very comfortable because the rules in any of the Gibson's restaurants was not one person was able to go up to, whether it was a patron or somebody that works there, was ever able to go up to somebody's table who was a celebrity.
Really?
And it was, you were fired or you were just, they kept close quarters on anybody who was, and it was very well known that you were not allowed. I mean, they made it very clear.
Oh,
that,
which is good for the restaurant. So, it would draw celebrities there.
Absolutely, because they know they wouldn't be harassed.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I have two funny stories. My favorite person that I met, and I was so starstruck, was Sidney Poitier, and he asked me to come out. And when he slid over, he was in a booth, and I got so giddy and I was so nervous and I started to talk really fast and I was like, oh my God, the seat's so warm. I'm actually sitting in the seat where you sat and it's so warm. I'm like sweating right now just thinking of how humiliated I was.
That's really cool, though.
And he was everything you think of, as he was so calm. He had this very, his voice was so calming and you just felt so good around him.
Really?
He was an incredible man. He was so appreciative and so nice and calmed me down a little bit. And I mean, I was sweating so much. It was just, it was a mess, but he was so cordial and very nice.
How cool is that? That's really cool.
Which movie was he from? Was he To Sir With Love?
To Sir With Love.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, he was in a ton of movies.
A ton of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I remember that
His
one.
His
voice, I thought
that's
is what it
so
was.
Compelling. I mean, and a very, very, very big man, very tall.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's very tall and very.
Well, you're very short, though.
Well, 5'5", I'm pretty tall. For me.
Okay, for you, of course.
Yeah. But the other, there's a couple, I met Faye Dunaway, who was, Faye Dunaway.
Wow.
Hmm.
Very, very much of a star, if you could say. That
That's a good way to put it, yes.
She was definitely, don't talk to me unless I talk to you.
Okay.
Very particular about what she ate. You know, no fats, no this, no that.
Really?
Certain things couldn't tell. Yeah, it was. Yeah, she was the only person that I could ever remember in my time that was so particular about her food.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just order off the menu.
It's, no.
Really?
No, it was specific things. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
So you did that at Gibson's. You did whatever.
Honey, we do whatever. Whatever. I mean, there were many times that somebody would say, you know, I want something or such stuff, and the waiter would run down the street to a jeweler or something and get whatever.
You're kidding.
Oh, really?
They make quite a bit of, I mean, they make some good dough. I mean, it's a profession. I mean, they are definitely trained, and Hugo Riley, one of the original owners, was an English fellow, and he was from New York, and he definitely had a rein on the people that walked in there. Oh, I mean, very, very strict training. Very strict training.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was at a restaurant, and I asked for a turkey club. And they didn't have mayo. And they gave it to me dry. And I says, wait, I need mayo on this. This is really dry. They wouldn't go to the store to get it. They said, we ran out.
Nope.
See, yeah, but Denny's isn't.
No, I didn't say it was Denny's.
You know, it's not on the same level as Gibson's.
It wasn't Denny's.
No. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why they've gotten so well at being restaurateurs, is that literally they would do anything for
the patrons.
A client. Sure.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Hmm. Okay, what was some of the weirdest requests you ever got as far as for food or how they want it prepared or...
You know what? We just, there wasn't anything, nothing was weird to us because we would do whatever we physically possibly could.
Really?
I mean, we already, you know, we did our own steak tartare, which is raw meat and mm-hmm. which I personally loved. It was great.
Do you really?
I just made hamburgers the other night and was... caramelizing some onions and made burgers and was eating the meat for sure.
Oh, my dad used to eat that.
I learned it from my dad.
On rye bread. He used to call it cannibal sandwiches.
Yes, yes.
Oh, gross.
So there really wasn't a whole lot that was strange because we would do anything. Nothing, you know, there was never any, you know, that we rarely said no.
Hmm.
And if, you know, within a 45-minute, I mean, all of our purveyors also, I mean, being Gibson's in one of their restaurants, the purveyors wanted to be in the group because, you know, they would make a lot of money. And so, you know, if we had a half hour, some, you know, which pick any purveyor, they'd run anything down to us, literally.
Wow.
So.
I won't eat anything raw. I'm sorry. If it moves, forget it.
Yeah,
Sushi. Oh, he likes sushi. But
I like my sushi cooked.
Yeah, because he can only have shellfish.
Yeah,
or else he'll die.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No.
But if I want to get rid of him, oh, I shouldn't say that on radio because then if he dies,
we now have it on tape.
Yeah, I know. Oh boy,
we saved this. This was at 10 minutes and 19 seconds.
Was there ever a patron that came in that ticked you off?
This was in another restaurant, and I could say it was a woman who was very wealthy and was extremely rude, and she was with a larger table. And I just, my motto was just kill her with kindness and whatever. I kept saying, and I mean it. I was just like, you are. And she, I think really what she wanted to do was really to get somebody mad. She wanted to fight with somebody. It was one of those people that was mad, woke up mad, and she was going to fight with somebody. And I remember at the end and going to the bathroom and kind of, you know, crying for a little bit and then straightened up. And I remember a guy gave me an envelope, and I didn't even see it, and it was a $100 bill after that.
No kidding.
They left, and he said, I am so sorry for my wife.
Really?
Because, I mean, even the people at the table were like, I just went, no problem, she's just having a hard day. But I would never let her, not alone, let alone see me sweat, but I never let her see that she could
rile you up.
She was brutal. She was just one of those.
But she came in a lot?
No.
No.
She only came in a couple times. And then I think her husband was like, you're not allowed to go there anymore.
That's a smart thing.
You know, just nothing was right.
Because it's costing him too much money, $100
there. Nothing was right, though. And nothing would have been right, you know. So, but.
Well, that's all the time we have for our show. And we'd like to thank you, Maureen,
thank you.
For coming on and talking with us and giving us all the little secrets that there is in the restaurant business.
It's my pleasure.
And Jim and I would like to thank you for listening. Tune in again next time.
Same dining duo time, same dining duo station.
Until then,
we wish you good times, good friends, and good food.
Here's a hymn to welcome in the day, heralding a summer's early sway, and all the bulbs all coming in to begin. The thrush's bleating battle with the wrens disrupts my reverie again. Pegging clothing on the line, training Jasmine how to vine up the arbor to your door and more. Standing on the landing with the war you shouldered all the night before. Once upon it, the yellow bonnet garland all along. You were waking, and day was breaking, a panoply of song. And summer comes to Springville Hill. A barony of ivy in the trees, expanding out its empire by degrees, and all the branches burst to blue in the bloom. Heaven sent this cardinal maroon to decorate our living room. Once upon it, yellow.